Now, you can't be better than this last guy. That was...
Baruch Hashem. Awesome. This morning we have the schus to meet a yet another giant. Who could rank? But a very, very important giant in the world of Torah learning. And to study a sefer that maybe some of you have heard of, maybe some of you have not heard of. In the world of the yeshiva, in the world of in-depth, what you would call eon learning, this sefer is paramount. Paramount importance. If you turn to the inside of your front cover, you see the Sharblat of the original edition, Sefer Shari Yosher, the gates of straightness, of the upright. Now, the reason why this is called Shari Yosher is because the letters Yud Shin Resh is the acronym for Yitzchak Shmuel and Rachel. Yitzchak, Shmuel, and Rachel. This is a couple. And the discussion is focused on Chikre Halachos, analysis of these laws, Bedini Hasfekos, when it comes to questions of doubt. Ruba, when you have issues of proportion, majority. V'chazaka. Chazaka can mean different things in different contexts, but in this context it means how to establish prior ownership of something. Ubedine Edus. So there are multiple topics that are covered in the Hakdama of this Sefer Shari Yosher. There is a discussion about Amelus Batorah, the idea of immersion and toil and effort. There is a discussion of Tzedakah. But it's too much to be able to tackle all in one morning. So what we're going to do today is focus specifically on one aspect, one insight of this Hakdama, which I think is life-changing. It's unbelievably important. And I would venture to add that this Hakdama, this specific aspect of the Hakdama that we're going to focus on, can answer a very interesting and maybe unusual question. Would anybody have suggested, if they would have asked you, to associate marital intimacy with the concept of Kedusha, of holiness?
Sure.
Really? Obvious?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, somebody, the whole concept of the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. You look at Shir HaShirim. It's a love story, and it's a love between.
Beautiful.
So,
so on one level, it has to do with the relationship. You're like, you're cheering him on. It's good. Yeah. You got. Yes and amen. Good. I don't want to get involved in any. You go home, it's going to be like, what is that?
But she gets mad because I just read the Art Scroll translation.
Right, okay, fine.
On the other part, yeah.
So on one level, it has to do with love. But physical intimacy is a specific component. It's interesting because it's a specific component of a holistic relationship between people. And it's this physical intimacy, which is referred, let's say, for example, you know, going right back to the 13th, 14th century, the Ravid, most people know the Ravid because he wrote notes on the side of the Rambam. The Ravid was an older Talmud Chacham. When somebody passed him a set of Rambam, and he's like, what's this? So he kind of gave it a glance, and he wrote little notes on the side. So he's known usually because he wrote comments on the Rambam. This is Rev Avram ben David of Poskier. In the 13th century. But the Ravid also wrote a volume called Balei HaNefesh, where he talks about the laws of how to build a mikvah and lots of different things related to issues of Taras and Mishpacha, family purity. And he has one section called Shar Kedusha. And that section of Shar Kedusha is specifically focused on physical intimacy. And I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of interesting that the specific physical part of a relationship is referred to as Kedusha. I wonder if we weren't finished this morning, we could have a radically new and transformational insight into how to answer that question and what that means for the rest of our lives. So to do that, let's take one step back and find out who wrote this sefer. Who wrote this Hakdama? Why is it here? So you see on this Sharblat, Me'iti, who authored this sefer? Shimon Yehuda, Ben Le'adoni Avi Mori V'Rabi HaMuflug V'Yurei Elokim, Yitzchak Shmuel HaKohen Shkop. This sefer is authored by none other, the great rabbinic luminary of the end, I guess you would say, the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, Rav Shimon Shkop. In the world of the yeshivas, if you say Rav Shimon, it means Rav Shimon Shkop. This is probably his most important, most well-known work, but they're also a collection of published shiurim that Rav Shimon delivered. Well, what is his background? Where did he come from? He was born in 1860, and he studied as a young man in Volozhin. But he didn't just study in Volozhin. He was at the top level of students in Volozhin, which was at that time, of course, at the end of the 19th century, was guided by the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, and he was in a chabur of like the Iluyim Shebe Iluyim, the top Talmidim with Rav Chaim, because for a long time Rav Chaim was the Magid Shir in Volozhin. After that, he tells you, if you go flip ahead, go to page 4. In the Hakdama, he says he was born near Minsk. After Volozhin, he says, what happened to me? Go to line 28. Hashem had Rachmanis, so to speak, on me, that he put me among those who were learning Bein Amelim Im Hatzibur, who were learning Torah with devotion, with intensity. Asher Bishnas Tuf Reish Memdalid, in the year 1884, Nikresi Al Yedei Dodi Zikeni Hagon, who was he invited by? Reb Lazer Gordon. Who was Reb Lazer Gordon? The Rosh Hashiva of Telz. So the Telz of Rosh Hashiva calls his nephew, Reb Shimon, Lios Mor LeTalmidim B'Telz B'Hayeshiva Shama. So Reb Shimon becomes a Ram in Telz for 18 years. But then, he says, Ubishnas Tarsag, in 1903, I became a Rav Leir Malch, and then 4 years later, Leir Brinsk, and then in Horodna, and I began saying shiurim in different places. He had a yeshiva that was interrupted by a very significant world event. What was that? That's right. World War I, he was living in Brinsk. The city was captured by the Germans. He had to close the yeshiva. However, in 1920, he accepted a position as a Rosh Yeshiva in Grodno, in Yeshiva Shar HaTorah. Grodno, if you remember from the map, which is kind of Poland, Lithuania, that area, that edge. And he became the Rosh Yeshiva until the yeshiva, of course, was moved to Vilna at the outbreak of the war. He died in 1939, just shortly after the outbreak of the war. When he had this little break, I guess it was the World War I sabbatical. He didn't have the yeshiva functioning, and he had some time, so he compiled his chidushim in this sefer, Shara Yosher, which he published years later in 1928, but this was his opportunity to summarize the insights in Gemara that he had. One interesting historical tidbit, just to add to this story, it was not uncommon for many great Rosh Yeshiva from Eastern Europe to come to America for one specific reason.
Money.
That's right, they came for fundraising. So in the early 1930s, Reb Shimon came to America, much like Reb Elchanan Wasserman came to America in the 1930s. Rav Cook came to America together with the Kovner Rav, Rav Dov, Avram Dov Ber Kahana, as well as Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein from Chevron, from Slabodka. It was a very common thing. So at that time, Dr. Revel Zichrono Levracha had a great a huge Talmud Chacham, European Talmud Chacham, was known as the Mechiter Eloi, the genius of Mechiter, who was giving shiurim in Reitz. Today we would call it Reitz or Yeshiva University. And the Mechiter Eloi died. When he passed away, Reb Shimon was in America fundraising. So they hired Reb Shimon to come and give shiurim in YU, which he did for a year. But then, at the insistence of Reb Chaim Oser and many other European Gedolim, they pressed him that what? Should come back to Europe, which is what he did. So he went back to Europe.
Didn't we hear that before? I mean, with the Chafetz Chaim or something, that he shouldn't go to Israel because Rabbi Ozer said he had to stay in
Europe. That was the story of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, who also was encouraged to stay, and the Chafetz Chaim also similarly was encouraged to stay. So here he was giving shiurim in YU for a year, and then he went back to Europe. So that's the background of Reb Shimon's life. So he was Voloshin, and then Telz, and then Shaar HaTorah, which after the war, today there is a yeshiva in Queens called Shaar HaTorah, which is a Rev Zelig Epstein. I don't remember, maybe he's a son-in-law or a grandson-in-law. It's a transplant. Today you go to Queens, you'll see that's the transplant of this yeshiva, of this great Gaon. And many of the European Rosh Yeshiva who survived the war and came to America or went to Israel were Talmidim of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon's yeshiva was known as one of the great bastions of Torah learning before the war. Many Talmidim Mitzuyanim, the greatest Rabbanim, learned, they would say, learn by Reb Shimon. That would be the Yiddishism. Learning by Reb Shimon doesn't mean they walked past him. It means they learned with him, but that's how we would say it.
So where did he get his music
from? From Voloshin. He learned in Voloshin. That's my, as far as I could tell.
I went to Netzach Yisrael, Guzman, Talmud.
Right. Oh, Bruchim Abayim, special welcome. So Reb Shimon writes a very fascinating Hakdama, which you would not expect. You would not expect, because this Sefer is heavy-duty lumdus. It's about the details of, you know, you have a Shiloh where there's a Rove on one side, the probability says this, and the likelihood is that, and there's a lot of very intense, dense lumdus in this Sefer. But he starts the Hakdama of the Sefer with the big questions. What is life all about? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create us? What are we doing here? And even if in our lifetime, maybe we'll never open a Shara Yosher to understand the content of the Sefer, this one Hakdama is just unbelievable. And it's interesting to me how different the Hakdama is than the content of the Sefer, which is very, very technical and lumdus. So again, the book is called Shara Yosher. Why is it called Yosher? So now you can see two levels of reference. It's called Yosher because Yud Shin Reish, we said, stands for Yitzchak Shmuel Rachel. Who are those people? That's right, his parents. So his father, you saw, was named Yitzchak Shmuel. His mother's name was Rachel. But there's another name that's referenced here in the word Yosher, which is, by the way, why he spells it Yud Shin Reish. You could have spelled it Yud Shin Vav Reish. Or, no. Yud Vav Shin Reish. It's Yud Shin Reish. Who else's name is referenced in there?
His name,
exactly. Shimon Yehuda is referenced in this. So that's what he writes in the end. Yeah.
It's like a common name like Smith or whatever, but is the Scott family in Chicago, are they descendants or relatives?
I don't know. We have to ask them. So take a look in page one where Shimon says, you notice how he introduces the Hakdama. This, the Shaar blot that you have is from the original edition. You see the original edition, it's written in Cyrillic on the bottom. It's printed in Poland, in Bialystok. But this edition that I gave you here on the page is a fancy new edition. So it makes it much easier to read. You rather this, because the alternative was this one. I'll show you. How about that, huh? Okay? You didn't have to pay extra for this one. Okay? So this is, I guess you call it the large print edition. Of course, right now. That we're going to start with. That you can't wait. So Reb Shimon opens, just like we saw in the Hakdama to the Mesillas Yesharim, with a reference to the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisbarach Habore V'Yis'ala HaYotzer, that's a Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey. Shebra'anu Bitzalmo Uvedmus Tavniso, that Hashem created us with in his image and in his likeness. And he implanted within us a living life, a living eternity. Very interesting. That our goal in life should be lehetiv imzulasenu, to do good for others, liyachid ularabim, for individuals and for the community, behove uba asid bidmus habori, that we should do for others just like Hashem. What does he mean by that? He says, look, why did God create the world in the first place? Says Rav Moshe Cordoviro, the great Kabbalist from Tzfat in the Tomer Devora, Shekol ma shebara v'yatzar, everything that he created and he fashioned, ha yaritzoni yizbarach rak lehetiv im hanivraim. Why did God create the world? Because ratzon hatov lehetiv. That's the only reason Hashem created the world. Because you have to think about it. When it was, right, mimei kedem, before the existence of the world, it was kulo achduso yizbarach. It was all endless light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem Yizbarach is perfect. So there was nothing lacking. There was no need, there was no impetus to create the world, except in one respect, in the following idea that, well, if you have something which is good, part of being good is sharing, is giving, is bestowing on other people. So you could be an extremely gracious and generous person, but unless you have the opportunity to exercise that generosity, it's bekoach, it's potential, but it's not befoal, it's not actualized, it's not realized. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course, is kulo tov, and so what does it mean to be tov? It means to be tov is to give to other people, to give to other, to share. So he says, you know, we'll do the following. If the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be able to exercise, I don't know how to exhibit, I mean, you can't really use the right words for Hashem Yisbarach, because there's no such, it's not, you can't distinguish between the him and the will. We're just using as if it were as a person, so to speak. If a person wanted to be able to exercise their will to give, you know what they would do? They would pick themselves up, get out of their house, go find someone and say, hey, can I give you a ride? Do you need a sandwich today? You have lunch? You would go find somebody to give to. But what if there was nothing else? It was just hu levado. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, we're going to do an experiment. I'm going to take my light out of a little space of existence. And in that vacuum, we're going to create an opportunity to give. So I'm going to siphon off tiny little sparks of godliness. And I'm going to put them into these menchis. Do you remember the Fisher Place? Play people with the holes on the bottom, you put them in the little cars. That's what we're like, kiviyachol, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, with little menchies. So, right? This is what we had. So, you have the little play school chevra. So, Ribbono Shel Olam says, you have the farm with the animals, the whole thing. And by doing that, he's going to give us the opportunity to earn our own keep. Why do we have to do that? He just could have given us a free handout, but everybody knows that's what the Mesillas Yesharim calls nama dikisufa. That's bread of shame. No one likes a handout. It's embarrassing. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no problem. I'll give you an opportunity to earn your reward. So even that is a chesed for us, so that it shouldn't feel like nama dikisufa. It shouldn't be bread of shame. So now the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and he gave us opportunity to come close to him, to earn that special place, feeling the ziv hashchina in our neshama, in the world to come. And we do that by living a life of closeness to God in this world and bringing godliness into the world. So Rav Shimon says, what is the Tomer Devorah really saying? He says, the whole purpose of this world is just for the basic reason that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to do something nice for us. He just wants to do something nice for somebody, so there has to be a somebody. So he does us a favor, because ratzon hatov lehetiv. So says Reb Shimon, if that's the goal of why Hashem created the world, that's what motivated him, so to speak, whatever that means. Well, Doesn't that instruct us? Because says the Pasuk, go to line 4. Ki ritzono yisbarach, Hashem's will is shenahalech bedrachav, that we should follow in his footsteps. Kiviyachol, he doesn't have footsteps. Shem, as it says, ka'amur, v'halachta bidrachav, that we should walk in his ways. Haynu shenia anachnu b'chira yitzurav, magamaso tamid lahakdish kochoseinu hagufaniyim v'haruchaniyim l'tovas harabim. That we should, just like he, we should as well. So what is the just like he, we should also? Just like he does for others, so too we should do for others. He just wants to do something nice for someone. So we should also do the same thing. That's the goal. You know, there's a famous story. Famous story. Shlomo Carlbach tells the story that he was in Tel Aviv. Usually we don't tell Maisim in the Shir, but you can't have this S point without this Maisa. Shlomo Carlbach was walking on the boardwalk in Tel Aviv, and he saw a man from far away, saw a man wearing one of those Iria jumpsuits. You know, they have those municipality blue jumpsuits, like you work a worker from the Iria, and in Israel, it's a very distinct thing, right? You see the workers, they have specific outfits, and they have a little name tag. It says, you know, Tel Aviv Yafo. You see in Yerushalayim also, it's the municipal workers, the folks who collect the garbage. They have that tremendous opportunity to be garbage people in Yerushalayim, HaKodesh, and Mil. You know, okay. So Reb Shlomo sees this man, and he sees him away in the distance, walking along the beach. And he gets a little bit closer, and he could see from behind him that the man, he looks like this. He's terribly, terribly hunched over. And he gets closer, so he sees that this man is a hunchback, and he puts his arm around him and he says, Shalom Aleichem. He says, you know, hi, Shalom Aleichem, Yid, Adoni. So the man looks up at him, you know, totally hunched over. He looks up at him, and Nebuch, his face is terribly disfigured. And he says, Aleichem Shulam. So it's a dead giveaway right away that he wasn't born in Stay Boker, you know what I'm saying? So Reb Shlomo says to him, he says, Me'efu kvodo? And the man is a street sweeper, so he's just sweeping the boardwalk. And he says, I'm from Europe. So he says, Shkoach, where are you from in Europe? So the man says, the street sweeper, he says to Reb Shlomo, he says, I'm from Piasetzna. So Reb Shlomo is like jumping out of his suit. Piasetzna? You mean Piasetzna near Warsaw, right? So like, yeah, yeah. Like Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapira? Hashem Yikom Dama Schus Yagan Aleinu? Like the holy Piasetzna? He says, yeah. So somebody grabs onto him and says, tell me, did you know him? He says, did I know him? Yeah, I knew him. I was in his yeshiva. Because you know that the Piasetzna had a boy's yeshiva. It was named Das Moshe after his father-in-law. His main chassidus was focused on young people, on boys, on bachrim. So Shlomo was so excited. You know, I know in some circles today there's some controversy. I can't say anything about that controversy about Shlomo Carlbach because it's Achrei Mos Kedoshim Memar. I don't know what to say. All I know is this Maisa is important Maisa, and you know, you'll figure it out as you go along in life. So Shlomo says, Do you remember anything? So the hunchback looks at him and he says, look at me. He says, I was an early teen when they took me away, but because I was huge, they thought I was 20, so they sent me to a labor camp, and I worked so badly, so hard with the schlepping and the rocks and the beatings. After all that, I can't remember anything. What do you expect me to remember after that? So Shlomo says, please, please tell me something that the Holy Piasetzna taught you. So the hunchback says, I'll tell you one thing. He says that the truth is that I was in a camp that was surrounded by electrified barbed wire. And there were nights, and you know, lo aleinu, this did happen, There were nights, he says, that he felt like, you know, he knew he had no parents left. They had gone up and he had no nothing. His whole world was gone. And he felt like he had nothing left. He's going to go and throw himself on the wires. And as he's walking there, he said he remembers what the Rebbe used to tell the boys on Friday night. He said he used to get all the boys together and he would tell them, the greatest zach in the welt, what is the greatest thing in the world, is to do somebody a favor. That's the greatest thing in the world. And as the hunchback says, as I'm walking to the fence, I'm thinking to myself, this is mamish, the depths of hell. You know how many favors you can do for people here? So he says, I walk back to my barrack. I sat down in the corner. There was a broken yid on the floor. I sat down next to him. I said, Reb Yid, what's your name? Tell me your story. And finally, we got out of there. I came to Israel. But look over here. What kind of life is this? So I'm sweeping the floor. And one day I just decide, I can't do it anymore. I don't know how to swim. So I start walking out into the Mediterranean, and that's going to be the end. And as I'm walking, wading into the water, it's getting up higher by my knees and my waist and my chest. I hear the Rebbe's voice again, saying, what's the greatest thing in the world is to do somebody a toiva. And you know how many favors you can do, how many nice things you could do for people in the streets in Tel Aviv? So I got out of the water, and I went back to the bus station, and behind the bus station, I found, you know, some yidin sitting over there, and I sat down next to someone, and I said, Adoni, tesaperli, tell me your story. So Shlomo Karlbach is mamish, like, he's never heard anything like this in his whole life. It's unbelievable. So he gives the guy a huge hug, and they start crying, and he says, you know, I'm going back to America, but I'll be back. I come to Israel all the time for concerts and things. I want to come and see you again. So the man says, thank you very much. Okay. So a few months later, Shlomo's back in Israel. He goes right back. He lands, goes straight from Ben-Gurion to the beach to find this street sweeper. So he comes looking up and down, running around. Can he find anybody? He's looking for the hunchback, the holy hunchback. And finally, he sees a guy in the distance wearing a blue, light blue jumpsuit from the Iriyah. But as he comes closer, he could tell it's not the gate of the street sweeper. So he comes over to the man and he says, Adoni, did you ever see there was a hunchback here? He worked with us. So the guy doesn't really look up. He says, oh yeah, he died about a month ago. So someone says, did you know? He said, no. And he just kept walking. The idea that the greatest thing in the world is to do somebody a favor, that's what I think Reb Shimon is saying, is that that's what the whole world is about. Because that's the Ribbono Shel Olam just wants to do that. He just wants to do something nice for somebody. So even though, you should know, it was a beautiful thing, even though I grew up in a shul, in a shtibel, in Rabbi Taub's Zichrono Levracha, his shtibel, across the street was another shul, is another shul. It's called B'nai Jacob Shari Zion. The Rav of that shul is a wonderful person, tremendous Talmud Chacham and a Rav and a Manig and a mentor. He helped me a lot in many, many ways. His name is Rabbi Moshe Hauer. So at a certain point, when my mother couldn't see or hear anything that was going on in our shul, I don't know why she felt like this, but she decided she was going to start davening at B'nai Jacob Shari Zion, which we didn't notice the difference, truth to tell, because we couldn't see her or know if she was there anyway. So we would see her afterwards, so she would come back across the street. So Rabbi Hauer, he used to have, when we were younger, I don't know if he still does this, they used to have a, I guess you would call it a Yom Kippur spiritual appeal or a theme. So one year, they gave out cards and they had up signs in the shul, the greatest thing in the world is to do somebody a favor. That was the campaign. I still remember this. Years ago, it was a campaign. I'm sure if I called Rabbi Hauer, he would probably still have the PDF somewhere of this. The campaign was, the greatest thing in the world is to do somebody a favor. Because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam did. He did us a favor. Kivyachol, he just decided, Ratzon HaTov LeHeitiv. So this is a very, very beautiful idea. And it gets to the core of what we're about. But now, Reb Shimon takes this kernel, which maybe you've heard before, or maybe it's obvious to you, of Ratzon HaTov LeHeitiv, of why Hashem Yisbarach would create the world. And he applies it in a very interesting context. Don't forget, we have still a question from the beginning of this year we're going to get to before we finish. So now, says Reb Shimon, here we go. Line number 6. Uladati. And it seems to me, Kol inyan ze nichlal b'mitzvas Hashem shel kedoshim tiyu. That's the bombshell. Reb Shimon says, this idea of giving, of doing for others, is actually in the mitzvah of kedoshim tiyu. What does that have to do with kedoshim tiyu? He says, let me set it up for you. Let me explain it to you why I think it's compelling that this is the pshat. Because he quotes a medrash. Ine b'medrash amr al mikra zeh. Quote, I'm on line 7. Page 1, line 7. Yachol kamoni, says the pasuk, we should be holy like Hashem Yisbarach. Really? Could we be yachol kamoni, as holy as God? Talmud lomar, ki kadosh ani, that I am holy. Kedushasi, says the Medrash, my holiness is lemaila mikedushaschem. My holiness is on a higher level than your holiness. The Havamina, in Gemara language, you would say the Havamina. What's Havamina? It means the initial thought. The initial thought is, you could be as holy as God. No. Gzeres HaKasov, you can't be as holy as God. I'm going to be one notch holier than you. Beseder, that's what it says. So Reb Shimon says, I don't understand. He says, let me ask the Ramban, what is the definition? Anybody remember? Anybody know? What does the Ramban think is the definition of kedoshim tiyu, of being holy? What's that? So, in what respect? Yes. The Ramban says you have to be cautious from physical excesses. You know, a person, the Ramban, this is where he says famously, there's a concept called a novel bershus ha-Torah. A person could follow every checkbox in the Shulchan Aruch and still be a novel, vulgar, live an empty, base life where they speak in a coarse way and they spend their time just fressing and living like that's novel. The novel, it's hard to translate into English other than the word vulgar. You know? Coarse, vulgar, empty, vacuous. What's that?
A bolvan.
Yes, a bolvan. That's good. So Ramban says, Kedoshim Tiyu says, you don't have to embrace every single hedonistic pursuit in this world. Be a mensch, for crying out loud. Because it doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch anywhere where you have to, you know, where does it say be a mensch? So Kedoshim Tiyu says, be a mensch. Don't be so immersed in physical, material pleasures. So Reb Shimon says, with all due respect to the Ramban, he's not taking anything away, but he says, then the Medrash doesn't make any sense. The Rabbonus Shalolim, you have to teach him to be a mensch. Right? It's saying, well, there's a comparison. You guys have to be careful about your material physical excesses. You might think you could do that as much as HaKadosh Baruch. Well, the Rabbonus Shalom is not material. He doesn't have a Yetzer Hara to eat that extra Romanian hot dog. He doesn't. He doesn't have hot dogs. And if he ate, he wouldn't eat hot dogs. So he says, I don't understand. He says, it doesn't make sense. Line 15. To be moving ze alenu lahavin to be emes, yesh dimon meakdusha shem dorish meiton lakdusha so yisbarach. He says, wait a second. The comparison between us and God that's set up by the Medrash, that's the goal. How does that have anything to do with staying away from excesses of this world? He says, line 17, Kedusha zu eina misyacheses klal laHashem Yisbarach. That concept of Kedusha, of staying away from excess, it's not shayach to Hashem. So how can you say, well, God has this number of units of Kedusha, and we're almost there, that we don't share that common concept? It's not in the same league. You can't say that one has any shaychus to the other. So he suggests that this is the pshat. Lechein, go to line 18, new paragraph. Niralani yazdaiti. It seems to me, shebe mitzvah zu, kolol kol yesod V'shorish megamas tachlis chayenu. In this mitzvah is included the foundation and the root of the telos of our lives. Sheyu kol avodaseinu va'amaleinu, all of our work and our toil, tamid mukdashim letovas haklal. It should all be devoted for the other, for the community, for the collective. V'shalonish shalonishtamish b'shomaisu utnua hana v'tainik shalo yebeze eze inyan letovas zulaseinu. We should not ever do anything that doesn't benefit somebody else. Ukamuvan b'chol hakdoshos or hakdushos shehu hisyachadus lamatar nechbada. He says, this is the essence of following Hashem, which is the concept of Kedusha. And therefore, he says, it makes sense. Go down to line 26. Ubiyachaze mistame inyan Kedusha zu l'kedusha sabor yisparach be'ezet dimyon k'tzas. In this respect, there is a comparison between human holiness and God's holiness. They're in the same ballpark. God gives and we give. There is a common area that's being discussed. He says what? Shekemo shebemaisa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like in the actions of Hashem, behabriya kula, v'chein b'chol rega v'rega, every moment, right now, this instant, shumakaimus ha'olam, that the energy of Hashem Yisbarach is being poured into the world, that heim mukdashim l'tova zulaso, that is dedicated. The word kedusha here means dedicated and devoted. Like Tosa says in the beginning of kedusha, when you say to a woman, harei at mekudeshes li, it doesn't mean that she belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It means you are designated. So just like the Rebbe Shalom, his Kedusha is designated. Who is the Kedusha of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated? To us. All the energy that Hashem puts in the world is a tova for us. It's a favor for us. It's to give to us. So he's giving. Kein Ritzoni Yisbarach Sheyu Ma'aseinu, line 29, Tamid Mukdashim L'tova Saklal. So therefore, all of our actions should all be devoted L'tovas Haklal v'lo lahanoas atzmo, and not for a person's own benefit. Says the Medrash, now I understand very well. Kedoshim tiyu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, be givers. Be altruistic. Yachol kamoni. Maybe you would think that it's possible for a person to be 100% netto, totally altruistic. Just like Hashem, Yachol Kamoni. Tamid Lomar Kedushas Lamaila Mekdushaschem. It's not possible that we're not going to have a speck of self-interest. There's always going to be a little something looking out for ourselves. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, literally, Im Titzdak Matitin Lo, we give him nothing. He's perfect, Sheba perfect, nothing of nothing. So that's total altruism. Our goal is to get as close as that as we can. We're never going to get 100%, but we could get 90%, because we're on the same scale. It's the same measure. It's the measure of giving, of altruism. What a powerful idea. So now, Reb Shimon is going to develop this idea in a further fascinating way, but before he does that, I want to go back to our original question. I wonder, you know, Nechama teaches Kalas, and she's involved with Taras HaMishpacha, and these inyanim, they're very sensitive. They're acutely sensitive. The area of physical intimacy is remarkably sensitive because that's when a person is highly vulnerable. With this definition of Reb Shimon, I understand why physical intimacy is aligned with the issue of Kedusha. Because in this arena, it's a time where somebody has the opportunity to give, to focus on someone else, rather than to focus on their own, what Reb Shimon is talking about here, hanoas atzmo. The ultimate expression of Kedusha is to give to somebody else, especially where there is this acute sensitivity, where there is this vulnerability. And so by giving to that person, you are giving them not just the physical hana, but you're building something within them, in their place of vulnerability, when they're opening up. That's why Kedusha, I think, is in this area, because that's when you have an opportunity to really focus on giving. So when Chasanim and Kalos are being taught, right, the main teaching, the main thought in the Shaar HaKedusha realm is about the responsibility of two partners to give to the other person. That's the main focus of physical intimacy from a Torah perspective. Well, that, says Reb Shimon, is the concept of Kedusha, because Kedusha is doing for somebody else. So both parties in the relationship, in a physical, intimate relationship, are focused on the idea of Kedusha. That when you give to somebody else, it's like the Rabbona Shel Olam gives. And I think that's, to me, that's why it makes perfect sense. Because if you're talking about the idea of precious, like Rashi, Prushim and Harayos, so then how does precious, so yes, in one track, in physical intimacy, there is an element of precious. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's very restrictive and it's based on a certain approach.
What's precious?
Precious is a separateness, right? How else would it? Asceticism, right? Separation. But physical intimacy, certainly in the Masorah that you follow, let's say from the Rambam, is not really about separateness. So how does Kedusha fit into physical intimacy? The answer is, if you don't define Kedusha as separateness, but you define it as giving and altruism and focusing on the other person, then actually that is at the source of what physical intimacy is supposed to be about. How about that? Now, you can't give that as a shiur to every chas and a kala because they're busy worrying about the glasses and the tiaras and the soup and everything else. But I think that's really the truth. I really think that this pshat for Rabbi Shimon is the emes ha-maisa of what a chas and a kala need to know about how to treat each other in the arena of physical intimacy, that it's about focusing on what you can give for the other person. And each one has that kedusha perspective for the other one. Amazing. Okay, but we still have time for Rabbi Shimon's even further knach on this yisod. You ready? Don't leave yet, because this is amazing. Because Rabbi Shimon says, well, this is all very fine and good. I got this, but I have a problem. He says, okay, line 31. So a person's going to say, Im yomar adam lachnias tivo, we're going to subdue our nature and lahagia lamidi yaseira. We're going to get to this high level, that we're going to become selfless. And by the way, we know people like this. We know people in our own lives, in our own orbit, who really are selfless. They would give you the shirt off their back, and then they give you their undershirt. There are people like that. We know them, right? They're getting to this high level of Kedusha, that Shaloya benafsho shumachshov of shitav lehit v'latzmo. And it's amazing, for those people who are at that high level, it's not a chiddush. Like, you talk to them, you're like, that's amazing. For them, they're at the level where, oh, you know, I'll give you the shirt off my back. I'll give it to you. They're like, yeah, obviously I would give you the shirt off my, it's so pashut. They're at this high level of Kedusha. So Rav Shimon says, so that's, we're going to have to work to get to that level. And all of our goal, v'chol she'ifosav, yurak lahetiv la'acher, on line 32, that's going to be our goal, lahagia l'kedushas habor yizbarach, that's going to be to get us to the sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Turn the page. We have a problem. I don't get it. Because, go to line 4, many of us are familiar with the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva and the man walking in the desert with his friend. What happens when the man has one canteen and his friend has no water? What do you do?
Drink it. You're supposed to drink it, not share it, so you both die and you don't have to give it to him.
Chayecha Kodman. You save yourself. You don't share the water with the other guy. So Reb Shimon says, I don't understand. Chayecha Kodman. And not only that, look in line number 5. V'gam ramzu lonu lefarish es hamikra v'ahavta l'reacha. What does it say? Kamocha. Wait a minute. Why is it I should love my friend like I love myself. What should it have said? Love my friends. Why are you loving yourself? You're not supposed to love yourself. You're not supposed to focus on yourself at all. You're supposed to negate the self, aren't we? It's lahitiv lazulas. So why is the Torah telling you, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? It shows you that the standard of what you really love, that's kamocha. And the chiddush is, well, I'm going to love you like I love me. I would make sure that I have nice Shabbos shoes, so I should make sure you have nice Shabbos shoes also. But the baseline is, I'm going to have nice Shabbos shoes. He says, I'm trying to figure this out. I don't get it. And he quotes other sources. He says, obviously, it is mutba b'teva ha'adam. Who is our first priority in our lives? I am. That's the way the Rabbanu Shalom made us. So are we supposed to suppress the instinct that says, take care of yourself? I don't understand. I'm confused now. Because on the one hand, we said that the high level of Kedusha is to be altruistic. And we know, and the next paragraph, the paragraph Ladati says, you know, most bad things in the world come from people being selfish. The Yetzer is all about self-centeredness. That's the gaiva, the kas, taiva, kina. It's all about me. So of course, it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be about others. But then, it is about me. It's chayecha kodmin. It's v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Sir Reb Shimon says an amazing vort. Go to the next paragraph. Skip down to line 31. He says, you know what the pshat is? It's actually all about the ani. Everything we do is supposed to be ani. With a catch. Usgula zuhi. What's the treasure? She yisbarer v'yisames etzel ha'adam echuso shel ha'ani shelo. The catch is, how do you define ani? Chayecha Goldman. He says, Ha'ish hashaf, hagas v'hashafel, somebody who is coarse and crude, kol ani shalom mitzumtzam, rak b'chumro, line 33, v'gufo. All he worries about is, what am I going to eat for breakfast? What's going to make me feel good? What is my physical desire? That's ani, that's me. But there's somebody bigger than that, greater than that, higher than that. Lamaila mimenu, someone who's greater than them, misha ani, margisha ani shalo, that his ani is murkav, beguf nefesh, is a composite of a body and a soul. That's a higher level understanding of how you define yourself. It's my emotional state, my spiritual state. Lamaila mizeh, who is higher than that? Misha machnis l'ani shalo, line 34, B'nei beso mishpachto. Someone who includes their family in their definition of self. Further, v'ha'ish haholech al pidarkei ha-Torah. A person who fulfills the path of Torah sees, ro'eh, he looks at, he sees ha'ani shelo kolal eskol am Yisrael. Who am I? I am all of Am Yisrael. Shebe'emes, and this is true, because kol ish Yisrael hu rak ke'ever miguf ha'umah Yisraelis. Each person is part of one greater organism, one entity of Klal Yisrael. Ve'od b'yesh b'zem ma'ilos ha'ish ha'sholem. That is even a higher level. Roy lahashrish b'nafshu lahargish ha'kolo olamos kulam hu ani shalo. All of humanity is my ani. It's how I define myself. V'u'atzmo raki ever katan besocha b'yakula of all the non-Jews and all of the animals and all of the flowers. And therefore, what's going to happen? V'oz gam regesh avas atzmo, his desires to worry about myself, what does that do? Ozer lo lehov eskol am Yisrael v'eskol habriyakula. Depends how you find yourself. Yes, we are supposed to be only interested in ourselves, in ani. But if you define yourself as just ani, as he invokes from the famous teaching of Hillel, im ani la'atzmi, then what am I?
Don't we say, im
ein ani li mili? Exactly. Im ein ani li mili. That's exactly, I return the page on the top line. Im ein ani li mili. Of course, I have to have self-interest. The goal of life is to worry about myself. Chayecha kodmin. But who is chayecha? Uchsha'ani la'atzmi. Of course I have to worry. Lidog, he says on line 2, tamid ba'aratzmo. Exactly, Ira. Worry about myself. But at the same time, it's to understand, sha'ani la'atzmi mo'ani. If I minimize myself to just the most narrow definition of ani, how pathetic is that? What an amazing idea. The idea of giving to others is not a stira, says Reb Shimon, to myself. Because if I view others as an extension of myself, I don't really feel like I'm giving. A parent who loves a child, and the child needs something, and really is struggling, and the parent sees the opportunity to help out that child, does the parent feel like, ah, you know, I'm doing you a tova, you should owe me, you know, a thank you card? No, Bonnie, you're saying no. Why?
It's just the natural thing to do.
Right. You're gonna help your child. Especially, by the way, for mothers, because mothers really feel, this is my child, no matter how old that child is, this is an extension of me. This person who now, you know, is a grown man with their own family, this child is my baby, this child was part of me, physically part of me. I will always have that feeling that that child is an extension of me. So I'm not doing a chesed for somebody else. That's me. It happens to be that this me is, you know, grown with a beard and, like, you know, has their own family and drives their own car. But that child is always a part of you. So that's ani. That child is ani. And then the grandchildren, that's also ani. You know, you look, people are zocha. Everybody halavai should be zocha to see a grandchild. That's ani. So it's not, you're not doing some chesed for somebody else. It's ani. Says Reb Shimon, the people who become so refined, when they drive down the street and they see someone in need, they say, that's also ani. When they see another person in shul who maybe, you know, is struggling, so that's also ani. And so the challenge, says Reb Shimon, is not to build a sense of altruism. That's the chab. It's to build an expansive definition of self so that we don't need to feel that, oh, I'm giving you the shirt off my back. Of course I'm giving you the shirt off my back because you're just an extension of the ani. And of course, this goes in concentric circles. You know, the most immediate ani and then the most expanded ani and then all the different levels in between. So says Reb Shimon, this is really the secret of all of our life. The goal of life is kedusha. It's v'halachta bedrachav, walking in the ways of God, of being altruistic. And you might have thought you could be as altruistic as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yochel kamoni? No. Talmud lomar ki kadosh ani kedushasi l'maylam mikedushaschem. But the way to do that is not by destroying our sense of self, of saying I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. It's rather by expanding our definition of self. Says Reb Shimon, when we see other people, we need to see them over time. We build this selflessness muscle. We build this expanded ani muscle. See them as part of ani. And the same way that we do this for our children, we do it for others. I'll end with one more maisa. A lot of maisim today. Rabbi Lemelech of Lezhensk went with his brother Reb Zusha. The Heilige Rabbi Melech went on a golus, on a sojourn. So he comes back to Lezhensk, and someone says, Rebbe, we're glad you're back. Eliezer is very sick. And he gets really worried. He has a son, Eliezer. He starts heading home. As he's rushing back to his house, he gets to the house, he opens the door, he says, Eliezer! And someone says, no, it's not your son, Eliezer. It's Eliezer, the son of the butcher, down the block. So the Rebbe of Melech says, oh. And then he catches himself. He says, I'm sorry, I have to go back into Golis. Because that little sigh of relief,
He says, that shows that I'm more worried about my own Eliezer than about the butcher's son Eliezer. I have to go back into Golis to refine my soul. Wow. Okay. How many of us are on the Halakha Rebbe Lemelech of Lezhensk's level? But what does that tell you? That he, mamash, he saw his avoda in life as to see every other child as his own child, as to expand his ani to that level. And that's maybe why the Piasetsu said the greatest thing in the world is do somebody a favor. Because that's coming back to the shoresh of Kedusha, of what it means to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is to do for others.
I was just thinking, you know, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so one of the definitions is that Echad is that Hashem encompasses everything.
Yes.
There's no separation between Hashem and everything else and vice versa. So it's kind of...
Exactly.
Kind of the same...
Beautiful, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Achduso Yisbarach, Rebbe Shalom, is Kolol HaKol.
Right.
So his definition of Echad, of Ani,
right.
Really is Kolol HaKol.
Right.
So in a certain
right.
sense, we're going to be
right.
reflecting that. Right. All right. Halavai will be Zocha to this.
Yeah.
It's a good first step. Right. Shkoyach, have a great week. Thank you.